Hi, this is Marty Hall, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, along with our guest, Emmy Award winner Ron Bacon. Ron spent 35 years in network television, working behind the scenes in many capacities on more than 12,500 different TV broadcasts, covering more than 130 different TV shows, including such variety series as The Lawrence Welk Show, The Frank Sinatra Show, The Ernie Kovacs Specials, The Smothers Brothers Summer Series on ABC, The Hollywood Palace, and Shindig, as well as live events like the Academy Awards broadcast, sporting events such as the 1984 Summer Olympics, which is the program for which Ron won his Emmy Award, as well as many of the great game shows produced by Chuck Barris and Monty Hall. You can learn more about Ron and his career at ronbacon.net. When we went to break, Ron was telling us about his career on The Lawrence Welk Show, which began as stage manager on the show and eventually moved up to associate director and then director. Ron also gave us an idea of the family-like atmosphere that Welk created behind the scenes. I understand that at one point, Welk let your son conduct the band.
Yes, he did. Lawrence was just he was a good friend. And one time or another, he invited me. I was in all of his homes, spent nights there, you know. He would let me use, if he wasn't in using his Escondido home, my family and I could go there. And he was great with my kids. He danced with my daughter. Mm-hmm. He let my son lead the band. I mean, my goodness. How family can you get, you know?
And as you just alluded, Ron, he was a very successful man. He had a huge audience, but he did not take himself too seriously.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Very, very grounded man. We mentioned in our open that as part of your responsibility, as part of your career at ABC TV in Los Angeles, at one point you worked a lot of the daytime game shows and some of the, in the case of both Let's Make a Deal and many of the Chuck Barris shows, game shows that were also on primetime. How did you find yourself working game shows, Ron?
Well, you know, the fact was that our staff was very small at ABC, and so we got assigned to everything. You know, it wasn't unusual to work two or three different shows in a single day. You might be doing a game show. For example, I remember I was doing an afternoon show from Jack Bailey. He was the Queen for a Day show.
Queen for a Day.
Okay, so I'd get there, early in the morning, and we'd rehearse that show. And then when it went on the air live, it was in the afternoon, then I had a break, and then I would go and do a game show at night. And, it's a lot of hours.
Yeah. At one point, you joked about working 100-hour weeks. I don't know whether that's a stretch or not, but...
It was close to that a lot of times. I mean, because we'd also be working on weekends, you know. And... like Lawrence Welk was on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. That was what we did.
And a lot of game shows in the 70s, as an example, a lot of those shows were filmed. They were filmed like five shows at a time on a Saturday.
Right. We do. And even when I worked with Dick Clark, we did five American Bandstands. Now that's an hour show, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd do five of those in a row one day. I mean, that's a long day.
Dick Clark, I have been told by people who knew him and who worked with him that you forget the fact that he was a visionary, forget the fact that he built an empire, an entertainment empire. The one thing that's consistent from what I've learned from people who knew Dick Clark is that he was another guy, never let his success go to his head. He was hands-on, very approachable. He knew the name of everybody on the set and their family members.
That's true. And, you know, what I think was really interesting was he would promote people from his staff. The guy who was originally in the parking lot became a producer.
Wow.
One of the girls who was just an ordinary secretary, he was supposed to do it was a show like Rockin' New Year's Eve or something. She'd become a writer. he would assign people. You would say, well, why wouldn't you go out and get the most qualified? Well, you don't know. These people all get a chance, you know.
He recognized talent.
He just gave these kids a chance, and I think that was a wonderful thing. He was a very down-to-earth guy, really. And as you say, his success never went to his head, ever.
Monty Hall, I mentioned this before we started recording. I had the pleasure of talking to Monty Hall about a year or two before he passed, Ron. And what I enjoyed learning the most about that conversation with Ronnie Hall was all the stuff he did behind the scenes that people didn't know about. He was way more than just let's make a deal. He produced a lot of game shows.
Yeah, he was a busy, busy guy. And I'll tell you, working on one of those shows was intense because the scheduling was very tight and there wasn't a whole lot of room to do anything but do the show. I mean, it was busy, 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 and extremely well organized. All of his shows, extremely well organized. And the biggest issue was the huge number of people that would turn out to be on the shows. You know, being game shows, they wanted to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all these kids standing around in pizza suits.
Yes, with Let's Make a Deal. Yes, especially. Yeah.
But it was fun. You know, it was a fun thing. But everybody did their job with great professionalism. I mean, just bing, bam, boom. It wasn't a whole lot of socializing. It just went, the shows went on time, they got off on time, and with very, very little deviation. He was a good employer, as far as I can tell. I mean, certainly good to his people.
Yeah, that is what I understand. Now, of course, you worked on Let's Make a Deal, which, as you mentioned, we remembered that because it was an audience participation show. You had all the people in the crazy get-ups and Monty work in the audience, as well as throwing it to Carol Merrill and that. But you also worked on Split Second, which was my favorite Monty Hall show, which is a totally different show. But that was like, watching that show was like watching the cars run the Indianapolis 500. That was go, go, go.
Yeah, it was a fast-moving thing, I'll tell you. Yeah, when I think about game shows, well, I also have to mention Mark Goodson.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of his stuff. And at one time, I was a standby director for one of his shows. But Mark was a really interesting man, driven kind of guy, as so many of those producers are. But Mark and I had a little bit of a falling out one time. I was working on it. My job was, as associate director, was to get the show off on time, and I had rules that I had to follow about the credits. The credits weren't allowed to last more than 30 seconds. So we're doing this, one of his game shows, and Mark's there and sitting next to me, really. And he said, let the credits run long. And I said, Mark, we can't do that because I'm working for ABC, not working on the Mark's show. I'm still working for ABC.
Yeah.
So I said, Mark, we can't do that. And he said, let the credits run long. And I said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. And I held my ground. So then after the show, he said, okay, you're fired. And then he said, no, you're not fired, but you're fired. He couldn't make up his mind what he wanted to do. He said, you can't do that to me.
Well, yeah. He
told me what to do. I said, I have to. It's my job.
Yeah, and plus he couldn't fire you because, I mean, he may have said, okay, Ron, I don't want you working on Family Feud anymore. But he
could have kicked me off the show, and then who's he going to get?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to change? But so then another time later, I'm assigned to a show, and his line producer didn't like me because his girlfriend, who was a script girl, found me attractive. Well, I didn't see her, but she was always, it was an evident thing. She was trying to get my attention all the time, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So he really had it in for me, and I would be battling with him all the time about stuff. At one time, I was assigned to a show, and they tried to sabotage me. There was a brand new startup for one of his game shows, and there was a lot of difficulty with the computer programming running the gadgets that were part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an ABET engineer who was not particularly experienced running a switcher when I had to queue. And so things weren't going swimmingly. And so Mark fired me off the show. And I went up to him later and I said, "Well, Mark, I just want you to know that I did my very best work for you. I tried very hard to make this thing work." And I said, "I'm sorry that I wasn't able to reach your expectation." So a couple of days later, I get a letter in the mail from Mark, and he's apologizing to me for firing me. Crazy.
It sounds like, Ron, he respected you for standing your ground and trying to explain the big picture to him, whether he liked it or not. And from what I understand about Mark Goodson is that he could be difficult that way, but you were not cowed by him.
No, I never. Well, I wasn't intimidated by anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know why. What right did I have to not be intimidated?
Because you were too busy to be intimidated because you had all these other shows to run.
When I was working on a work show, they wanted to create a new opening, and Lawrence had some idea about what we should do, and everybody knew that it wasn't a very good idea, and nobody spoke up. And I said, "Lawrence, this isn't going to work. It's not a great idea." And everybody looked at me like, "You're mad, man. You're contradicting Welk." You know? Well, I did. I couldn't not let him know that it wasn't the best idea. Well, they went ahead with it, and it lasted one time, and then they went back to the formula that I had suggested for the opening. It was just a question of, you know, when to do the applause and what to do, you know, at the very opening of the show. But they eventually adopted what I wanted to happen from a musical point of view.
To what?
It's amazing.
Very amazing. Emmy Award winner Ron Bacon is on the line with us to share a few stories about his 35-year career in network television, mostly with ABC in Los Angeles. You can follow Ron Bacon on Facebook as well as ronbacon.net.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To what extent did you interact with the on-air talent of the various game shows that you worked with? Because when you did Goodson Todman shows, you worked with Alan Ludden hosted Password. You worked with Password for many years. Jim Lang, The Dating Game, Monty Hall, of course, hosted Let's Make a Deal.
Well, Jim Lang was a good friend, and I worked with all these guys. And in different capacities, different times. They were mostly, the guys like the game show hosts were really easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
They were really easy to work with. I never, just didn't ever have any problems. But I remember there was a show called You Asked For It. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, Jack Smith, correct?
Yeah, I don't remember. Was it Jack? No.
Oh, Art Baker.
Okay, Art Baker, that's right. So anyway, the director was a really tough guy. He had tattoos and stuff. and he had, I think he had some career as a boxer or something. But he was a mean son of a bitch, and he ran a tight ship. I mean, he rehearsed the heck out of everything. But the problem was he would over-rehearse. I mean, he would just do things to death. And one time we had a dog act. The dog was going to walk a tightrope, which was very unusual that a dog could do something like that. And somebody asked for it because they wanted it, you know. And so the dog was, his paws were hurting, you know. When he went to do the show, the dog just plopped. He couldn't walk. Then there was another story, and I don't know what it, but this is a, there was a, somebody said they wanted to see somebody jump out of an airplane and live without a parachute. So they got a stunt man.
Without a parachute?
Without a parachute.
Oh, my God.
So they got a stunt man who agrees to, I mean, people are absolutely nuts. They get a stunt man who's agreed to do this. And so they're, you know, they're, I don't know what altitude they were at or what, you know, but so they get the little airplane and they're going and the director is there and the guy freaks out. He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So the director pushes him out of the plane. You asked for it.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh at this, but it just sounds it sounds too bizarre to believe. But I do remember that was the premise of that show. I mean, they would do whatever.
Yeah, that's what they do. No matter what it was, they'd do it. You know.
Yeah.
Another time, we had a guy. He went in his coffin, and they put the coffin underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And he was under there, you know. And at the end of the show, he's supposed to pop out. Well, at the end of the show, they open the coffin; it's full of water. And the guy he's half gone.
Yeah, yeah, well.
You never knew. Another time there was a rattlesnake loose on the set, you know. Somebody wanted rattlesnakes. Well, they got him. Well, the rattlesnakes got away. Everybody's running. Oh, where the heck are the rattlesnakes to get the crew? And there was the funniest one. This is cruel.
It is cruel, but
I'm laughing.
That's why I caught myself too. But I'm having a little mini epiphany, Ron. If you ever wonder where shows like MTV Jackass came from, it probably came from
kind of something like that. Right?
Yeah, it probably
this
came from
was...
Emmy Award winner Ron Bacon is on the line with us. Ron spent 35 years in network TV production, mostly with ABC. In Los Angeles, working on a variety of shows covering almost every type of network TV programming imaginable. Ron will be back at the end of our second hour to share a few more memories of his network TV career. Please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, take a quick time out. Then award-winning film director Michelle Danner will join us. We come back on TV Confidential. One more item. If you love Ella Fitzgerald, our friend Jeffrey Mark celebrates the music of the First Lady's song every week on Jeffrey Mark Plays Ella. You can hear Jeffrey Mark Plays Ella on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you find podcasts. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/tvconfidential, x.com/tvconfidential, or @tvconfidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.